You're listening to the Top Dog Social Media Podcast. Tips and tricks from the experts, featuring Melanie Dodaro.
Welcome, this is Melanie Dodaro from Top Dog Social Media, and I have the pleasure today of interviewing one of my favorite people, Vivica Von Rosen. She is the upcoming author of LinkedIn Marketing, An Hour a Day, and her book is scheduled to be released, I believe, in late fall 2012, and I'm looking...
That's what we're going for.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm looking very forward to reading it. LinkedIn is definitely one of my favorite social networks, so I'm very excited about that. So welcome, Vivica. Thanks so much for taking the time to meet with me today.
Oh, thank you, Melanie. It's my pleasure.
So I'd love to hear just a little bit more, a little bit about you, a little bit about your background. So what did you do prior to social media, and how did you end up kind of making that transition to get involved with social media as a career?
You know, I was running a business center. It was a virtual office business center, so we had full-time and part-time entrepreneurs, small business owners who would use our office space and our technology, and quite frankly, I really didn't like the management part of it. So what I focused on was marketing, as well as bringing in, speakers and trainers to talk about the latest and greatest that I thought my clients might be interested in. And I brought in a speaker to talk about Web 2.0 and Google and how websites were becoming more interactive and how you could, listen to your clients and talk to your clients. And then at the very, very end of the presentation, she just briefly mentioned this thing called LinkedIn. And I had managed to double our business in a year doing face-to-face networking, so I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, this is like Match.com for business people, because Match.com is the only one I'd heard of yet as a social networking site. So, for me, it made total sense, and I got very involved in it. There weren't many people training or teaching on LinkedIn at the time. I was fortunate enough to find a company in Denver that was. And then I just started talking about it and doing little classes on it in my own business center. I was picked up by a national association in my industry, and it just kind of took off from there. But that's how I got started.
Excellent. Well, that's a fascinating story. So what was it about LinkedIn that you love? Really, because you pretty much mainly do LinkedIn, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Well, Facebook wasn't available to the public yet, and there was no Twitter. Really, my only other choice was like classmates.com. Ecademy had been around for a while, but I really honestly didn't know anything about it up until that point. Most of the marketing I had done, other than some very static brochure-like websites, was the face-to-face marketing, going to meetups and going to lunches and going to coffees and going to dinners and having meetings and, all of that kind of good stuff. So, and had been very successful doing that. So what really intrigued me was the fact that I might be able to spend less hours, and drink less caffeine, and still be able to create some meaningful relationships. And yeah, it was funny. I was on an interview yesterday, and he said, "Do you think LinkedIn has, kind of eliminated the need for face-to-face meetings?" And, to be honest with you, when I first started, that was my goal. I absolutely still think you need to do the face-to-face meeting. Maybe you can qualify the individuals first through LinkedIn, but that face-to-face networking, or at least ear-to-ear on a phone networking, is really where the business comes together, as well as, of course, referral networking. And so all of those functions are integral to the LinkedIn system. So it made a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I agree with you. One of the things I always say to people is LinkedIn and social networking is a wonderful place to make connections, to, meet new people, whether it's prospects for your business or strategic alliance, partners or whatever it is. But what you want to do as quickly as possible, just like you would in real life networking, is take that relationship offline. You know, whether that be
exactly.
getting on the phone with them. I mean, you know, you and I have never met face to face. We've met through social networking, and you know, unless we're going to be in the same city at any particular point in time.
Yeah.
We might not ever meet face-to-face, but we're able to develop more of a relationship by having phone conversations or even email or stuff like that, kind of taking it a little bit further. And if you live in the same city as people, then definitely, you know, you have the opportunity to meet them face-to-face. So it's really, in my opinion, a great way to meet people, to start to build relationships. And then you always want to take those relationships to the next level, whatever that level is you know, going to be for that particular situation.
Absolutely.
So have you had any mentors along the way, Vivica?
Oh, of course. Thank goodness. You know, I've had LinkedIn mentors as well as just business and life mentors. So, you know, obviously, Jason Alba wrote the first book. You know, I'm on LinkedIn now. What was that, in 2005 or something like that? So his was one of the first books I read. He has been incredibly kind to me, you know, considering that we're unofficially competitors, but really not really in the social media world. He has been an incredible mentor, has given me advice. Have yet to meet him face to face, but we have talked on the phone several times, and I just very much admire him. Another LinkedIn person I admire is Neil Schaefer. Again, just an incredible gentleman, very helpful. Very much enjoy the time I get to spend talking to him on the phone. One of my first mentors on LinkedIn was actually Nate Kieveman of Linked Strategies, and he's, again, been very, very helpful and supportive. We actually, with Pete King and Randy and a couple other folks, had the idea of creating a membership site back in, I think it was 2006, and it was probably a little bit before its time, but again, he was incredibly supportive of me when I was first starting out. And then Mari Smith, you know, you
yep.
say social media, and she's just the kindest, nicest person. And I think fortunately I established a relationship with her before her monumental Facebook fame, and we've just remained good friends ever since. I have been fortunate enough to meet her face-to-face and spend some time. She's just amazing. Love, love, love her. Bob Berg, same thing. You know, obviously not a LinkedIn mentor, but he probably was the person who catapulted me into my next, you know, into the next level. I had interviewed him for one of my clients, and he invited me to his conference and introduced me to Mari and introduced me to a bunch of other influential people, and really just ever so grateful for Bob Berg. Plus, his whole endless referrals program is unbelievable. And, you know, and the late Trey Pennington, rest in peace, he was such a gentleman and so very helpful and such a great mentor. So all of those people I am endlessly grateful to.
Wow, that's incredible. That's awesome to have had so many wonderful mentors. And I agree with you, Mari is a wonderful person. Mari has been one of my mentors, and she is just one of the sweetest, nicest people that I know. So.
She truly is. I mean, you know, you don't have to be a shark to make it these days. In fact, I think it's better if you're not.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think that social media has really had such a huge impact on how we do business, and it's really changed how the world's done business. And, you know, all the old school ways of, like we've talked about before, push marketing is no longer working.
Yeah.
And neither is, you know, being a cold, ruthless business person. That doesn't work anymore either. It's like truly the nice
exactly.
people are the ones that are finishing first and are the ones that are succeeding. So it's really nice to see. Well, that's wonderful. Wow, that's amazing to have had so many amazing mentors. Good for you.
Yeah, I was very fortunate.
Tell me a little bit about what you like most about LinkedIn.
Well, you know, it's business oriented. There's just not all that fluffy stuff going on. And it doesn't change its format every 15 minutes. God bless Mari. I don't know how she keeps up with Facebook. You know, it's hard enough to keep up with LinkedIn, and it's a relatively stolid site, you know. And even so, it's relatively intuitive. It's an easy sell for me. I think as a social media consultant, getting people involved in social media, they're a little bit more comfortable with LinkedIn. I call LinkedIn the gateway drug to social media because it makes sense. There's a Rolodex of a kind. You send messages or emails. It's very business focused. There's not a lot of photos and videos. In fact, it's really hard to upload videos. The business applications all make sense, and they're easy to find. And so, to me, it's just a simpler, easier, and more business intuitive type site.
I completely agree. I absolutely love LinkedIn. LinkedIn is by far my favorite. And, you know, I like Facebook, too, but for completely different reasons. I love Facebook personal use. You know what? I love watching videos of and pictures of my nephew who lives on the other side of the country, and it's the only opportunity that I have to see them, to see him or those, you know, the pictures and the videos. But from a business standpoint, you know, for me, it's LinkedIn hands down.
Exactly. And absolutely, LinkedIn works for B2C. But I think if you're going to focus your time as a B2C, maybe Facebook. But for me, my clients are mostly B2B, so it makes even more sense because it is still relatively B2B centric. Although, as I said, that service-based industry, the B2C industry, is taking off on LinkedIn. So that's a statement I probably can't make very very much longer.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's applications for B2C and B2B, and you're right. I mean, you know, if you're in the B2B, arena, you definitely, without a question, you need to be on LinkedIn. B2C is becoming much more prevalent, too, so there's definitely opportunity there. So what strategies do you find to be most important for generating sales through social media for the clients that you work with and even for yourself?
Well, you know, it always comes back just to that connection and engagement. So any strategy I can use to connect and engage the individual that I want to have a relationship with. I mentioned earlier Bob Berg and endless referrals. You know, I really like the strategy he has, which is very social media in nature, even though that's, you know, he was way before social media, which is, how can I help you? So a lot of times it's simply about reaching out and saying, you know, I noticed that you're an accountant in Anchorage. You know, I'm going to be speaking in Anchorage, and, you know, is there any way I can help you? Are there any referrals you need at this time to where you're helping them? You're not even trying to sell your stuff. Of course, thereby becoming top of mind as well. And other techniques, which, you know, are a little bit more time consuming, but less invasive and I think more effective, just, you know, attraction marketing type techniques where you're sharing useful tips, useful information. So even if they don't need to use you or your services, when someone they know says, you know, oh, I need someone who can help me with my social media strategy, or I need an accountant, or I need, a realtor, that your name springs to mind. The people who use LinkedIn to do more traditional push marketing, who, you know, blast your inbox with buy my crap, hey, do they really think anyone's going to buy, click on that and read it? We still need to make ourselves of value to individuals so that they even want to engage with us. And then for the more direct approach, It amazes me when people reach out to me and it's really obvious they haven't even read my profile or even part of my profile. So if you are going to reach out to someone on LinkedIn, by all means, use the tools LinkedIn gives you. You know, read their profile. Research them. Go to their websites. Go to their blog. Read their blog, or at least part of their blog. If they have written white papers, read them. So when you reach out to the individual, you can actually reference that and say, hey, you know, I have an interest in you. I've invested time in you already, and here's what I think we can do together. And again, most people just, they see LinkedIn as an easy tool to connect with someone and just try to pitch their product right away. And unless there's an immediate need for that thing, it's not going to work. So that's, I think, where, you know, where the strength and the weakness of LinkedIn is. That didn't really answer your question.
No, I mean, you know,
the strategy is connecting and engaging.
Yeah, connecting and engaging. And, you know, I see so many people like you that, you know, send out all these, what I call spammy messages, and it's, you know, I'm past the frustrating part because I just hit delete. I don't even open it based on, you know, what the subject line says a lot of times because, you know, I've got get inundated with it. And one of the things that, you know, frustrates me is that, gosh, I'm a business person and I know how much energy and time and whatnot we as business people put into our businesses. And I look at these people and think, wow, I can't believe you're wasting all of this time doing something that's going to generate, A, no results at all, and B, even worse, you know, absolutely turning people off and, you know, having, you know, a terrible reputation and getting blocked and deleted and so forth. So it's really frustrating, and I think people really owe it to themselves to become more educated because, gosh, the amount of time that you're wasting doing the wrong things, if you were spending that time doing the right things, you would see, you know, so much more results in your business.
Oh, you know, that is probably one of my biggest pet peeves, not just with LinkedIn, but all social media, is these people who get online and, you know, attend my webinar and learn how to make $10,000 a day on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook. And it's these get-rich-quick schemes, and they're teaching people the exact wrong things. They're really inhibiting their possibility of success. If you look at the people themselves, they're not doing what they teach. It just drives me up a wall, and it is so very obvious when you get on LinkedIn and you see someone who's learning mistakes from some of these folks out there. It just pet peeve drives me nuts.
Absolutely, and you know, and you're right. And there's so many, you know, and to the defense of people that are doing things completely wrong, I can sometimes understand why that's happening because there's so many people out there giving so much different advice and so much of it's bad advice that people just don't know what to do. And what I love about you is, you know, I love your profile. You know, it's exactly what I kind of believe in that a profile should be and teach. And I know that there's a lot of LinkedIn experts out there or alleged LinkedIn experts that will say, you know, hey, your LinkedIn profile should be, you know, your online resume or it should be your bio. And clearly, that's not exactly what it's supposed to be because one of the things that I think people forget quite often is that, you know, LinkedIn is a social network and the first word in social network is social. So it's not meant to be your online bio or resume. Like the way that you've got it written, you know, all first person, speaking to your audience, talking more so about them and what you can provide for them versus it being all about you. So I love the way that you've done that, and that's exactly, you know, what I talk about to my clients, and that's exactly what you need to do.
Oh, thank you. It's just common business sense. It's not even social media sense. It's common business sense.
It is.
Benefits versus features, right?
Right, it is. Although it just floors me that there's so many people out there that even some of the people that, you know, have written books and have, you know, speak on social media or LinkedIn, I look at their profiles and I'm like, oh my gosh, you're doing this completely wrong and you're teaching this. This is scary. No wonder people are so confused. So what type of approaches do you find work best for you when you're reaching out to new connections, people you want to connect with on LinkedIn?
Well, you know, as I mentioned before, do your research. Take the time. Take the time to do your research. It's there for you. You know, there's this wealth of information that you might not be able to find anywhere else. At least there's a path to a wealth of information. So, hello, use it. The other thing, and I guess this kind of maybe goes back to question four, kind of together, is you have to have a relatively large network. Now, I know that open networkers have gotten a really bad rep, and there are many of them that are just full-on spammers. But the fact is, on LinkedIn, unless your network is big enough, you can't see them and they can't see you. So getting found or finding the individuals you even want to communicate with in the first part, and then your ability to reach out and connect with them, is greatly inhibited by a small network. And I'm not saying that you have to have 22,000 first-level connections. In fact, I have to do that because that's, you know, that this is what I do for a living, and I need a big enough network so my clients can utilize it. But it's really quite inhibiting. And if I was not the LinkedIn expert and I wasn't teaching LinkedIn for a living, I would probably have a much more manageable first-level network, first-level connections. But that third level still needs to be between 10 and 15 million. I find that's the magic point. And there's 150 million users on LinkedIn right now, so it's still, you know, 10% of LinkedIn only. But it seems to be that magic number where I can actually at least find the individuals that I'm looking for. So having a big enough network is, you know, is actually the first part of that approach. The other thing is I'm relatively lazy. I like people to find me, so having a well-optimized profile, although you can't find me anymore because LinkedIn has blacklisted me, which we can talk about later what not to do. But, yeah, that's okay. It's forced me to find other techniques, too. So I guess I try to find the silver lining in everything. But for those of you who haven't been blacklisted by LinkedIn yet, you know, having a well-optimized profile and letting other people find you and reach out to you, that's awesome. That's the first part of no like. You know, now you just got to get them to trust you and buy from you.
Exactly. No, I completely agree. That's one of the things that is probably the most important aspect on LinkedIn. Make sure that you have a well-written profile that engages and connects with your ideal client, as well as is well optimized to be found for the words, you know, the things that you want to be found for. It just makes everything so much easier when your prospects and the people that are interested in what it is you offer are finding you versus you having to find them. One of the things that I just want to add, too, is, you know, when we were talking about one of the best ways to reach out to new connections on LinkedIn is personalize your notes. You know,
yes.
Like you were talking about, go to their profile and see what they've written and personalize the note to them, because one of the things that LinkedIn does is it makes it really easy for people to send their LinkedIn canned messages, which you should never do because, you know, there's just no personalization to that.
In fact, pet peeve number two, LinkedIn, if you upload your mailing list, which, you know, that's a great tool that LinkedIn gives you. In fact, it kind of forces you into it. Most people don't even see the little tiny skip this step hyperlink at the bottom. So it gives you this great tool to upload your list while not telling you that you only can send invitations to 3,000 individuals, whether they accept it or not. So if your mailing list is 5,000 people and you use their tool, you're out of luck. The other thing that really irritates me is you can't send a personalized message anymore. So, yes, I absolutely 100% agree with you, 1,000% agree with you, you know, personalize a message if you can, and LinkedIn has limited your ability to do that. In fact, LinkedIn just limited your ability to send a personalized invitation to a group. I mean, it's ridiculous. But anyway, pet peeve number two.
Can you elaborate on that by sending a personalized message to a group, what you mean by that?
Yeah. So if you own a group, or even if you're a group member and you want to share that group with someone else, just, hey, I thought you would be interested in this group, or certainly if you own the group and you want to share that group, you used to be able to share the group, and it had a default message, but you could change it, and it had a default subject line, and you could change it. You can't anymore. It's just Vivica Von Rosen thought you would be interested in this group. So I can't tell you what the group is about. I can't tell you why I think you would be interested in it. I can't tell you what the benefits to you are. It's just a blanket invitation.
Now,
of course, I can take that link and go into my messages and send messages that way, but it's an extra step. And it's so silly.
It is silly. It is silly. I didn't even realize that they had done that because it's been a while since I had sent a message that way. And, you know, the same thing was done on Facebook. When you send out messages to Facebook, if you wanted to connect with a new person, you used to be able to add your little personalized message saying, hey, you know, this is why I want to connect with you. And now you can't do that. And I just don't understand why they would make those kind of changes. Again, you know, first word in social media is social. Let us be able to, you know.
Well, I often say I think LinkedIn is probably the least social of the social media sites when it comes to the corporate itself. But, you know, oh well. It's still a great tool.
So, Vivica, how have you connected the dots between ROI and social media for yourself and for your clients?
Oh, I love that question. In fact, I just asked that question, I think yesterday, on my as a LinkedIn question, and then it was the focus of our LinkedIn chat last night. So that's funny. You should ask that. First of all, and it also happens to be the chapter I'm writing on the book right now. Love social media for getting research. The first thing, what metrics are you measuring? You know, if you're going to look at your return on investment, or first of all, what investment? Are we talking monetary or time investment? On social media, it's probably going to be one or both. And then the other ROI I like is return on influence, and I really think that's what you're talking about when you're talking social media, is how are you using social media to build your influence, which then, you know, later on hopefully turns into more clients and customers. But first of all, what metrics are you measuring? Are you? Do you have a baseline? You know, I most people I talk to have no idea off the top of their hand, off the top of their minds, you know, how many followers do they have on their company page? How many new invitations do you get per week on average? How many people are looking at your profile on average? And some of that's easy to find. It's on the homepage or in your network statistics. Some of it takes a little bit more digging. But you got to have those baselines so you even know if you're growing or not. Of course, using company analytics, you can get some good baselines that way. I just wrote a blog maybe last couple weeks ago talking about the future of LinkedIn. And one of the things I really hope is that they get more analytics for the homepage. So that we can measure these metrics and see if we're growing or not. But I guess when you're looking at ROI and LinkedIn, are you getting business from it? You know, I'll often ask a business audience, you know, how many people are on LinkedIn? And especially if I came to that specific company to speak, they all raise their hand whether it's true or not. But when I ask the second question, how many of you have gotten business out of LinkedIn, 90% of the hands go down. So the ROI is not there for most people. And part of it is they don't know what to measure. And then, of course, a big part of it is they just don't know how to use LinkedIn. So, you know, what metrics are you measuring? What baselines do you have to substantiate your ROI? And in the end, are you getting any business, either directly or indirectly? Are you keeping note of it? You know, not just off the top of your hand, but I don't know why I keep saying that, off the top of your mind, but do you have it written down somewhere? You know, what are your number of connections? How visible are you? Do you check weekly or monthly to see if you still show up on the first page of LinkedIn under your keywords? You know, are you getting any business through groups? Have you even looked at your groups lately? And then when you talk about return on financial investment, are you doing LinkedIn ads? Are you paying for people to look at your events or your groups or, you know, your business at all? The nice thing about LinkedIn ads is you definitely do have a metrics. They do set that up for you. LinkedIn Signal, are people even looking at your keywords? So a bunch of things that you can look at, and most people are just, they just don't see what the metrics are on LinkedIn. So again, it's not really their fault. It's not very intuitive, and it's certainly not as nicely laid out as, say, Facebook Insights or any of the 10 dozen measuring, you know, applications that you can apply to Twitter. LinkedIn's API is very, very closed, and so you just don't get as many opportunities to see your statistics as you do on some of the other social media sites.
Well, that's great, and I think you're completely right. I mean, you know, are you getting business from LinkedIn is probably one of the key questions to ask.
And exactly. That, KPI.
if you're not getting business from LinkedIn, you know, there's likely, you know, some questions that you need to ask too. And I think that leads me right into the next question, which is, what do you see as the biggest difference between those who use LinkedIn successfully to grow their business and those who end up just wasting time at it?
Well, you know, and that great question. LinkedIn really doesn't, it gives you all the tools, but doesn't teach you how to use them. And I think what happens on LinkedIn, and this is probably true in some part of Facebook and Twitter as well, is, you know, they give you great tools for setting up your profile. So they kind of walk you through it. They don't really tell you what to do to optimize it, but nonetheless, they give you some tools to get started. But then there's really, you know, hey, join a group. Great. And do what? You know, make some connections. Great. And do what? Hey, you can tag your connections. Awesome. And what do I do with that? Hey, we have LinkedIn Signal now. Fantastic. What's the benefit? You know, yay, there's LinkedIn Skills. And everything I've just mentioned can be incredibly powerful tools to getting you business. But LinkedIn's not going to tell you how to do it. I'm not entirely sure why. So what I would recommend, and the difference between people who are successful on LinkedIn and the people who are not, the people who are successful on LinkedIn are just using the LinkedIn tools to do what they do anyway. You know, the people who are really good at scheduling and following up and reaching out and communicating, applying those skills on LinkedIn, just consider LinkedIn another tool. So, you know, one of the things I always do is let's go through some of the strategies. Let's find out which strategies are most important to you, what's going to work best with your client or your customer base. And then let's put those strategies into your calendar so that they get done every day. Take a look at what you're doing on Facebook and Twitter. Are you blogging? Okay, well, how can we repurpose that content you're already creating in groups or, you know, through a blogging application or through sending messages with helpful and useful information? So taking what you're already doing in business anyway and applying it to LinkedIn. But if you just get on LinkedIn and occasionally respond to an answer and there's no strategy, there's no focus, there's no schedule behind it, then you're not going to be as successful. And it's interesting because it's usually just a small tweak here and a small tweak there, and then boom, all of a sudden, you know, pretty strategic success. But you've got to implement the strategies. And you've got to do it with regularity. This is like Twitter or Facebook. If you keep throwing stuff at the wall, yeah, some of it's going to stick, but not all of it.
Exactly.
Be strategic about placing that spaghetti on the wall.
Exactly. And that's the magic word. It's, you know, make sure you have a strategy. A strategy is absolutely necessary. Strategy is necessary in business. Why wouldn't it be necessary in social media? I was going to say, a lot of people just, you know, think, okay, well, I'm going to check my Twitter and my Facebook and my LinkedIn today and you know, send a couple of messages or updates and that's it. Well, you know, is there a strategy behind that? You know, what is your strategy behind that?
Exactly. Yeah, the first chapter before we even get into how to use LinkedIn in LinkedIn marketing is, what are your goals? What are your overreaching goals for being on LinkedIn? You know, is it client retention? Is it just PR? You know, have your blanket goal, and then what are your basic strategies, or what are your smaller goals? What are your weekly goals or your monthly goals? Do you have a new product you're releasing? Know why you're on LinkedIn in the first place. Are you on LinkedIn because your boss told you you had to be? Or are you on LinkedIn because, well, it just seems to be hot right now? That's not going to get you anything. You've got to be really clear. Like, my primary reason for being on LinkedIn, set myself up as an expert, as a thought leader in my field, and then get clients through LinkedIn, and then. But my focus is positioning myself as a thought leader. So my strategy for being on LinkedIn is going to be a little bit different than, say, a client who's trying to sell a product or a service.
Exactly.
So, why you're on these social media sites. And it seems so obvious.
Your strategy doesn't necessarily, and you just gave a perfect example, your strategy doesn't necessarily always have to be sales. You know, positioning yourself as an authority is one of the, you know, six biggest influencers in why people would end up doing business with you anyway. So if, you know, if your strategy, your particular strategy, Vivica, is positioning yourself as that thought leader, that, you know, leading authority in your area of expertise, that is going to bring business along the way. So having that as your specific goal is ideal, because from that, a lot of other things, you know, get activated.
Exactly. You know, I have some clients, they could care less about being an expert in their field or an authority in their field. They just want to sell more of their product or service, and that's cool. There's ways to do that as well, but you got to know why you're on social media.
Exactly. So that brings me to my last question for you. I'd love to hear a little bit more about your upcoming book, LinkedIn Marketing.
Sure. You know, and here's a good LinkedIn story. That's how they found me. They found me, they typed in LinkedIn expert into Google. My profile is the first one that comes up, which is kind of handy. That's another reason I like LinkedIn, is it helps with your Google searchability, your Google juice. And then they went to my LinkedIn profile, and my blog was, my blog and I had a video, my videos, I don't know why it's not working anymore, but anyway, my blog and my video were on my profile, and so they saw the way I write, and they were looking for someone who's a little bit more conversational, which my writing is. It's not necessarily... you know, grammatically correct, but it is conversational. And then they saw me and, you know, I guess I came across as authentic. And so I actually had an editor contact me from Wiley and ask me if I wanted to write a LinkedIn book. And for those of you who are authors, that's when you do the little happy dance, because I've written other books, both fiction and nonfiction, and have tried the traditional route of getting them published. And it's an effort, as those of you who are authors will know. So when they contacted me and asked me if I wanted to write a book for them, I was very pleased. And we looked at some of the different series they had. They have a companion series, which is what I originally started out with. But then, you know, because I know some of the authors who wrote the hour a day marketing series, and because I teach with the hour a day marketing series, social marketing series, I got a new editor from Wiley, Cybex, who's awesome. I love him, Willem Neeb. And he said, well, how about doing LinkedIn marketing an hour a day? And I was like, cool. So we looked at the TOC, the table of contents I'd already written, and we looked at the format for hour a day, and it just looked like it would suit perfectly, especially since I had a series called LinkedIn Marketing in 15 Minutes a Day. I thought, this is great. Now people can spend an hour a day on it. So I already had a lot of the strategies in place. It made sense to me. It made sense to them. And so we are just moving forward with that. I am having a lot of fun, and as I mentioned earlier, I am loving having social media as a research tool as well, because if I get stuck on something, I can just tweet, hey, you know, what do you guys think the future of LinkedIn is, or what do you, you know, what metrics do you measure on LinkedIn? So it doesn't have to be all from my little brain.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I am so excited about your new book. I cannot wait to read it.
I can't wait to write it.
And what is the official publishing date? Do you have one?
I think we're looking at it, not official. We're looking at October. I should be done writing it around June, July. So then, you know, however long it takes them to finish up with the editing and get all the print and all of, you know, all of the hard stuff into place. And, so we're looking at, I think, an October, November release.
Excellent. I'm very excited about that. So, do you have any final words?
I guess just, people get all hung up on the mediums themselves, and what it comes down to is, are you able to communicate? Are you able to listen? Are you able to ask and answer questions? And if you are, then you can be successful on LinkedIn. So don't let LinkedIn scare you, or don't let the format of LinkedIn keep you from doing the business the way you've been doing it successfully for years and years. Just use it as a tool to implement and enhance those strategies that you're already using. I think that's probably the best thing, word of advice. Oh, and then the other word of advice, if if you're going to create a LinkedIn profile, or even if you're going to edit your LinkedIn profile, then please do it first in a Word document so you can catch those silly grammatical and spelling errors.
Yes, that is great advice.
Yeah. There's nothing, I mean, it's a website. I mean, LinkedIn is another professional website that you can use, and you wouldn't hopefully have, well, I do, but you wouldn't hopefully have spelling errors on your website, so please don't have them on your LinkedIn profile. There's nothing that will make you look more unprofessional than, you know, spelling chief operating or chief executive officer wrong.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a wonderful interview, and thank you for sharing all your wonderful LinkedIn expertise with us.
Well, it has absolutely been my pleasure. You know I like to talk about LinkedIn.